One of the greatest biblical scholars of biblical prophecy to ever live was Dr. John Wolvert, who was the second president of Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Wolvert died in December of 2002. In the final week of his life, he told his son that to understand biblical prophecy, you need to have a thorough and careful understanding of five books of the Bible: Daniel, Matthew, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation. Much of what you are about to hear in this study is gleaned from those five books of the Bible. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, his life and ministry were primarily aimed at Israel. He traveled all throughout Palestine, presenting himself as the God, Savior, Messiah, King of Israel, and he did many miraculous things proving that he was who he claimed to be. In fact, in our study of biblical miracles, we have specifically cataloged 38 major miracles connected to Jesus Christ that proved he was the God, Savior, Messiah, King. But when he came to Israel, Israel rejected him. As the Apostle John said, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So eventually, Jesus said to Israel, "You'll not see me again until this nation cries out, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What we know from studying the scripture is that to get Israel to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is in fact her God, Savior, Messiah, King, it will take a horrible and horrific tribulation that will be dominated by the Antichrist, who will try to exterminate Jews all over the world. In fact, according to the prophet Zechariah, 2/3 of the Jews are going to die during that time. But in the course of his ministry to Israel, he said something to his disciples that went right over their head. He said, "I will build my church." He used a future tense, first-person singular, indicative mood verb. When he said, "I will build my church," what he said is, "I am going to personally build at some point in the future my church, and it's a fact. I'm going to do this." So when Christ was here on earth presenting himself as King of the Jews and King of Israel, the church was not yet in existence. It was futuristic. It would come into existence at some future time. That's what Jesus said. Now, when we use the noun church, most people tend to think of some building where religious people assemble. Most people tend to think of some religious sect or denomination. But that's not what Jesus meant. What he meant was this: at some point in the future, I'm going to bring people together into my body. I'm going to form my family through faith in me. They will become my very unique family of individuals from all backgrounds and from all nations. They will have believed in me. They will have been saved from their sins, and this will be my family. In fact, Jesus said this union will be so dynamic that I will be in them and they will be in me. So actually, to be part of that church, you must have been called out from the world and called into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You must be in Christ by faith in Christ. The moment one believes in Jesus Christ, one is put into the body of Jesus Christ, one is put into the family of God. Jesus says to his disciples that this is such a living, dynamic organism that will make one part of his family and body, and that will be produced by the Spirit of God, who will not come until I've gone back up into heaven. Now, when Christ ascended up into heaven after his resurrection, these disciples that he had told this to had no clue or thought as to anything pertaining to the church. Jesus said, "You're to stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit." And when he told them that, the response was, "Well, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" So those disciples were not thinking anything about the church at that time. They were still thinking about God's program with Israel. These disciples did not understand that God had a program called the church. They did understand that he had a program for Israel. They knew about Israel. They didn't know about the church. But Jesus had made it clear, "I have one program for Israel. I have another program for the church." The church is not Israel. Israel is not the church. Now, when Christ was here teaching those disciples, he taught them a lot about the program that he had in regard to Israel. The central gospel where he teaches them so much in depth is the Gospel of Matthew. And one of the things that Jesus taught them is, before I come back a second time, there will be a series of very precise signs that will precede my second coming. These signs will go out in a specific chronological order. These signs will be carefully and systematically accomplished. And they are spelled out in Daniel chapters 9 and 11 to 12, Matthew chapters 24 and 25, and Revelation chapter 6 to 19. In those chapters, Jesus Christ reveals the specific signs that will lead to his second coming. And I want to be very clear on what it is that we mean by the second coming of Jesus Christ, because this is crucial to our study today. The first coming of Jesus Christ was the first time he was here with his feet on earth in the land of Israel. The second coming of Jesus Christ will be the second time he comes here to this earth and puts his feet on this earth in the land of Israel. All of those signs that he spoke of in Daniel, Matthew, and Revelation specifically reveal what Israel can look for just before Christ comes a second time. Which then brings us to the question, what about the church? If the church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church, then what's going to happen to us? Are there things we can look for? Are there things we can spot? What are we to look for? How's this all going to end? There was a tremendous Jewish Bible scholar in the mid-1900s whose name was Dr. Charles Feinberg. And he made a very important observation when he said, you don't want to look for data about what's going to happen to the church in the Old Testament because it's not there. In fact, when Christ was talking about the church, he spoke about it in a future time. God has a future program for Israel. God has a future program for the church. And before God finishes his program with Israel, he's going to finish the program with the church. The entire prophetic program of God, both Israel and the church, is focused on the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, John in the book of Revelation said Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus Christ is the whole prophetic program of God. And the Bible's clear on this point. Jesus Christ is going to return to finish his program with Israel, and Jesus Christ is going to return to finish his program for the church. And as Dr. Feinberg said, you cannot find data about that prophetic event concerning the church in the Old Testament, which means we'll have to look in the New Testament. And when we look into the New Testament, what we discover is there are at least 21 specific New Testament passages that say Jesus Christ is going to come back and get his church. If we carefully examine all these passages, what we conclude is that Jesus Christ has promised he's going to personally descend from heaven, he's going to appear in the sky, he's going to catch up his church in the air and take them to be with him. When he comes to put an end to the church, he's not going to put his feet on the ground in Israel at that time. He's going to take his family up into the clouds to meet him and take him back to heaven. That, in theology, is what is called the rapture of the church. The actual English theological word rapture is a Latin derivative of the Greek verb harpazo. And the Greek verb harpazo that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 means to catch up, to snatch away, to carry up and away. And that's the verb that Paul uses to describe this moment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, of those 21 passages that speak of Christ doing this, there are two of them that we want to cite for a moment. The first one is from Jesus Christ himself. He said in John 14, 1-3, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What Jesus told his disciples is the key to not having your heart troubled is that you believe in God and believe in me as God's Son and as your Savior. In my Father's house, in God my Father's house, which is heaven, are many dwelling places, and I'm going there. And I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you. And the pronoun you is plural, referring more than to just this group. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and get you and take you there. And two times in these verses, Jesus uses the verb prepare, which is a very interesting Greek verb. It's the idea of I'm constructing a place from the foundation up. And the plural pronoun you is intensive. So what Jesus is promising here is I'm going to heaven. I'm going to design a place for every one of my family members. And then what I'm going to do at some point is come back and get them and take them there. Now I want to read the words of Dr. Charles Feinberg. And I want to stress the fact that he wrote these words in 1975. Our day witnesses a greater manifestation of troubled hearts and spirits than probably any other generation. Psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, both secular and pastoral, are unable to cope with the great backlog of those who need help. It is one thing to command an untroubled heart, but how is it to be achieved? The Lord immediately states the method. The antidote is faith in God. That will lift up the spirit, stabilize the heart, and settle the mind. But Christ adds more, amazingly. He states that as they believe in God, they are to believe in him. Was there ever a more direct and unequivocal statement of his deity? Dr. Feinberg then says, belief in God and in Jesus Christ is the cure for depression. Believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, and your heart will not be so troubled. That's what Jesus says. And what Jesus said is, I'm going to my Father's house. My Father lives in heaven. I'm going to prepare a place specifically designed for you. Then I'm going to come back, get my family, take my family there. Now, whether or not you believe that, that's up to you, but that is what he said he's going to do. Which brings us to the second text of Scripture, which comes indirectly from the Lord. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 17. Paul says in writing this, I got this information by the word of the Lord. In other words, I got this prophetic data from Jesus Christ himself. And he wrote it down, and his job was to communicate it to the church. And what he wrote down was this: for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. So what Jesus Christ told Paul to write to the church was, I'm going to rapture the church. I'm going to take this church, my family, my body, out of the world. I'm going to take them to heaven. I'm not going to put my feet on the ground when I do this. In fact, I'm going to take my family and I'm going to call them up to meet me in the sky. So for national Israel, the promise is one day he's going to come back and put his feet on the ground in Israel and give her the land. The program of God for the church and the promise to the church is one day I'm going to come back in the sky and I'm going to catch my people up into the sky. I'm going to take them to a heaven, to a place I prepared for them. Now, when we carefully study the Old Testament prophetic books and we carefully study Matthew and Revelation, we learn that there are specific signs that we are to look for just before Christ comes a second time to put his feet on the ground and give the kingdom to Israel. But the question we ask is, are there specific things we can look for as a prelude to the rapture? Can we look at the world right now and say that things are shaping up that would seem to indicate we could be very near the rapture of the church? And if so, what are those things we should be looking for? Dr. John Wolverd wrote a book called The Church and Prophecy back in the 70s, and he made an interesting observation. He said, one of the neglected areas of prophetic study pertaining to the end of the church age is that of looking for what we should be looking for. He said the assertion is often confidently made that there are no signs of the rapture of the church, as is presented everywhere in Scripture that the return of the Lord is an imminent event. Therefore, it's argued we shouldn't be looking for signs, we should just be looking for the Lord himself. The signs are basically for Israel in the tribulation. But Dr. Wolverd went on to say, however, if we are living in a time that is before the time when those signs go down, then we would be able to look at the world and say, you know, there does seem to be some evidence that the end of the age is at hand. And we believe there is good evidence for that. We believe that there are many prophetic clouds forming that do indicate we are very near the rapture. And what we would like to do for you is to point out 17 prophetic clouds forming right now before your very eyes. The first cloud is, it is predicted that there will be a rejection of the Bible and biblical truth. There will be a departure from the truth of the Word of God. There will be an heretical intensification of apostasy. That's exactly what Paul predicts will happen at the end of the church age. The word apostasy means there will be a departure away from the truth of God. And the Apostle Paul says that will come first, and he uses that qualification, it will come first before the rapture and before the man of sin is revealed. The Apostle Paul said prior to the rapture, prior to revealing of the Antichrist, apostasy comes first. And he didn't say it may come, he says it will come. And Paul would say people will reach a point where they won't want sound doctrine, but he told Timothy, in spite of that, your responsibility is to teach it anyway and preach the Word of God. Now, when you think of apostasy, I don't want you to think of just theological error or ignorance or naivety. Apostasy is a deliberate departure. It's a deliberate rejection of biblical truth. And we could give multiple examples right before our very eyes of this, and certainly one of them is abortion. God says he forms life in a mother's womb. God says he's the one who gives life. And frankly, we have political leaders who say, we don't care what the Bible says. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. We don't put any stock in that. So if you want to abort a life or kill a life, that's just fine. In fact, right now in this state, you can't go down certain aisles in a store. You can't go out on your boat, but you can go to a clinic and kill a baby. It used to be that the Bible was esteemed in schools. It used to be that the Bible was esteemed in universities. But now, it's been replaced by evil literature that doesn't tell the truth and doesn't even make a whole lot of sense. Paul predicted, as the church age nears its conclusion, apostasy will be dominant. And there are three specific forms of apostasy spelled out in the scriptures that will exist in the last days. The first one is apostates don't accurately handle the Bible. Apostates don't carefully, systematically, exegetically study the scriptures. They're not interested in exactly what a text says. In fact, it was the Apostle Peter who said in the context of the return of the Lord that there will be ministers who are untaught, they're unstable, they will distort and twist the scriptures to their own destruction. The beginning of tampering with the Word of God started clear back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden with Satan. When Satan went to Eve and said, did God say that? Eve really wasn't quite sure what God had said, and that was the beginning of twisting the word of God. Apostates use the Bible, but they don't handle it accurately. When I traveled from Dallas to Fort Lauderdale, I had the privilege of sitting next to a jet pilot who flies big jets, and for 2 hours we discussed a lot of different things, and for one of those hours we discussed Jesus Christ in the Bible. He told me that he had believed in Jesus Christ. I asked him, listen, when you get into a jet cockpit, do you follow any systematic order or you just wing it? Do you just start punching buttons? He says, oh, no. No. You have to follow a very systematic order to fly one of those big birds. When I shared with him how the Bible was to be handled, he said, I've never been in a church where they do that. And frankly, he had been in quite a few churches that taught things that weren't even sound or true. One church tried to put him back under the Old Testament law. In fact, how many churches do you know very carefully and systematically teach the scriptures verse by verse in a contextual, exegetical way? How many do you know? There are some, but they are far and few between. See, that's what apostates do. They don't study the Bible. They don't accurately handle it. And since the vast majority of churches are not carefully studying the Bible systematically, we think it is very clear evidence the prophetic clouds are forming for the rapture of the church. A second form of apostasy is apostates, according to John in 1 John, deny the doctrine of the Trinity. John said, who is a liar? One who denies Jesus Christ is the Christ Messiah, one who denies the Father and the Son. In fact, John says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Apostates deny that. Apostates deny the fact that there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, which in my opinion is proved by the very first verse in the Bible, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The noun God is plural, Elohim. The verb create, bara, is singular, third person singular in Hebrew. Explain that. How do you have some plurality to God, but yet a singular verb? It doesn't say, in the beginning, God, they created. It says, he created the heavens and the earth. There's only one explanation to that. God is one God comprised of three distinct persons. Muslims don't believe that. Mormons don't believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. In fact, most of the religions of the world don't believe that. Why? Because they're really not interested in truth. And apostate religions are dominating the world, which suggests to us the rapture's near. There's a third form of apostasy clearly spelled out in the scriptures, and that is apostates reject the true identity of Jesus Christ. The Bible predicts that just before the rapture, there's going to be an increase of false religious teachers who will produce a variety of heresies for people to listen to. And one of the things that apostate religions will do is they will attack the person and work of Jesus Christ. And they attack it in three ways. First of all, they deny the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Now, the Apostle John was so serious about this in 1 John chapter 4 that he said, you need to be very careful in listening to people because there are those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the fact that he is God. And we have, even in our political leadership, people who think Muhammad, who was a child rapist and murderer and liar, is a better prophet than Jesus Christ. We have in political leadership Mormons who say Christ is the brother of Satan. These people, according to John, are not just distorted. They're demonic because they deny the truth of Jesus Christ, that he's the second member of the Trinity. The second attack against Jesus Christ is they will deny that he's the redemptive Savior. Peter says that as we near the end, there will be people who will deny the Lord who bought them. They will deny the fact that Jesus Christ was the one who paid the price for the sins that they have. They will basically shun that idea. They will deny his redemptive work on the cross, which is the only thing that can save them. What John says and what Peter says and what Paul says is there will be people who will promote their works. They will promote their religion, and they will say that can save you. They will believe that you can save yourselves. They'll teach you that you can save yourself by your works, and they'll make up religion and traditions and rituals and all kinds of things that they'll claim can take you to heaven. They're living in denial of the fact of the only one who can take you there, and that is Jesus Christ. And since most religions of the world teach a works system of salvation, we would say most people, most religions of the world deny the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an indicator we're nearing the end. The third thing that apostates do is they deny that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who came to this earth. John says in 2 John 7 that apostates deny Jesus Christ is the Messiah who came to this earth. And when you look at the world, when you look at the world of religion, what you would have to conclude based upon these statements in the scripture is there are apostate religions dominating the world. They're not carefully teaching the truth, and that is an indicator we are nearing the rapture. So the first prophetic cloud that we see is there is a real apostasy moving away from the Word of God. The second prophetic cloud is there will be an expansion and explosion of lawlessness. Paul said in the context of discussing the rapture and the tribulation that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work and it will continue to work until the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is finally taken out of the way, and then it's going to break loose in full force. Now, what you cannot deny is there is a very mysterious, lawless spirit that exists right now we've never seen before. People hate authority. People defy authority. Look at the media and the way they talk to the President of the United States. And I know of what I'm speaking because I used to be in the media back in the 70s. And back in the 70s, there was a respect for the President of the United States, even if you hadn't agreed with him or voted for him, but not now. There's a defiance. There's an arrogance to any authority. And may I ask you a question and be very honest in your answer. Have you ever seen a time in history where lawlessness has been worse than it is right now? In our church, we have several retired police officers, and every one of them has told me, we are so glad we're retired because we couldn't cope with the lawlessness today. Just watch that program, Live PD, and look what the police have to put up with. Police are not respected. Law officers are not respected. They're mocked, they're attacked, and what is so sad is at times people who are in power side with lawless people. All of this spirit of lawlessness says we're near the rapture. We're near the rapture. A third prophetic cloud is there will be a denial of the imminent or soon return of Jesus Christ. Peter says most people, just before Christ returns, will laugh at the idea that Christ is going to soon return. So that concept of his soon or imminent return will phase them and it won't change them. Peter says, as we near the end of the church, mockers will come, following their own lust, and say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." I love an observation that was made by Dr. Wolverd. He pointed out something about this. He said, they're liars. When these people say everything has gone on the way it's been since creation, they're liars, because there have been times in history, many times, when God has intervened in history. He's put a stop to things. He's put a stop to destructive things. He said the entire Word of God testifies that things don't go on the same forever. In fact, God does intervene. So that is an outright lie. I think it's interesting that Paul specifically brings out the fact that believers who will be rewarded when the rapture occurs will have been those who have been looking for it and they love it. They will look for it and love the rapture. It will not be the majority of people, though, that will fall into that category. Now, we're living in a time when not only do people laugh at the idea of Christ returning, they don't even want to hear about it. Not long ago, I said to someone, I really believe Christ is going to return soon. And the response was, they've been saying that for a long time. A fourth prophetic cloud that's spelled out in Scripture is there will be a coldness and indifference to the Word of God in many churches just before the rapture. In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches that form somewhat of a chronology of the history of the church age. And there is a church that's described that exists after the rapture. It's the church of Laodicea. And one of the things that characterized that church is it wasn't serious about the Word of God. It wasn't serious about a reverence for God. It wasn't serious about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And God said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And Dr. Walbert said, most churches today have been overtaken by worldliness. The lives of the church, of the people of the church, are not much different than the lives of those who are outside the church. He said, take a look at prayer meetings. How many people actually attend prayer meetings? He said, they're poorly attended. And we may add, people no longer go to church to hear a careful exposition of the Word of God. There's a coldness that exists even amongst people who go to church. Now, Texas Corners Bible Church is a growing church, and some of the people who are coming to this church have told us that they're coming here because we want a church that's very serious about the Word of God and reverent worship. And one person said, at our previous church, it was more about the band and entertainment than it was the Word of God. And they said, when we went into the sanctuary, there was no reverence there. In fact, it appeared to us to be more like a nightclub. There's an indifference to the Word of God that is predicted to exist just before the rapture. There is a fifth prophetic cloud that's forming. And that is, there will be a lack of true biblical righteousness in leaders who are telling people they're right with God. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-8, Paul lists 20 characteristics. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Peter lists 15 more characteristics of teachers and leaders who will exist just before the rapture in the last days, claiming they're right with God. And here's the description. They will love themselves, they'll love money, they'll be boastful, they'll be arrogant, they'll be revilers, they'll be disobedient to parents, they'll be ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. They will be malicious gossips, lack self-control, they'll be brutal. They'll hate those who are good, they'll be treacherous, they'll be reckless, they'll be conceited. They love pleasure more than God. They pretend to worship God without any true godly power. They're in opposition to the truth and one who teaches truth. That's what Paul predicted. Then Peter said, these guys who will exist just before the rapture will surface from within the church. They'll teach destructive heresies. They'll influence many people. They'll blaspheme truth. They'll exploit God's people to get their money. They will continually indulge their flesh. They will continually be self-willed. They'll despise authority. They have no fear whatsoever of heavenly authority. They promote things that aren't even logical or reasonable. They have no knowledge of what they're talking about. They're deceptively consumed with extravagant carousing. They pursue things that are sexually immoral. They're given to greed. They continually abandon accurate instruction from the Word of God and doctrine, and they move away from truth, and they move into areas that are false. Those are the kind of ministers you can expect to see as we near the rapture. And if you don't think those kinds of ministers exist, I received a letter from a man this week from another state who's come to trust the way we handle the Word of God. And the reason he wrote me is because he's in a church where the ministers plural, told him it was okay for him to watch pornographic movies and listen to foul language as long as it wasn't real and as long as it was just a movie. And he said, I'd like to know what you think. Well, I wrote him back and I cited passages that totally contradict what those ministers are telling him. David said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Peter said, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. John says the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes is not of God but of the world. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. Now those ministers are ministers of churches. They're leading the church and they're telling people there's nothing wrong with this, which is contrary to the Word of God. Clearly, clearly, there is a lack of biblical righteousness today in those claiming they're right with God. We're heading to the rapture. Which brings us to the sixth prophetic cloud. There will be a renewed interest in national Israel. One of the great prophetic themes of the Bible is that one day Israel will be in her land. She will be esteemed as the nation of God by all powers of the world. It is predicted that Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Jesus Christ will one day reign in Jerusalem, and Israel is going to be seen and honored by all the nations. In fact, it is predicted that all nations of the world are going to want to travel to Israel's land just to honor her. Now, what you cannot deny is there has been a major focus on Israel at the present time. In December of 2017, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He was the first national leader to do this since 1948. In March of 2017, President Trump recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which Israel had won in the Six-Day War in 1967. In November of 2019, President Trump declared that housing settlements for Israel in her land were not illegal, something that President Reagan had said, they were not illegal. And in December of 2019, President Trump signed an executive order against anti-Semitism that protects Jewish Israelis on college and university campuses. Now, clearly, you don't have to be a biblical scholar to say, you know, there does seem to be a renewed interest in Israel. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a clear indicator we're heading to the rapture. A seventh prophetic cloud is there will be a rise in activity in Russia. It is specifically predicted that in latter years, in the last days, and that refers to the latter part of the tribulation, Russia is going to play a vital role in biblical prophecy. In fact, there are two specific Old Testament chapters that are designed to show what Russia will do and ultimately what God will do to Russia. Those chapters are Ezekiel chapter 38 and Ezekiel chapter 39. And there's one thing we want to point out about Russia. Ever since World War II, Russia seems to align herself with Israel's enemies. For example, in our day, we've seen the Russians align themselves with the Iranians. In fact, those two powers had a meeting this very week. The Iranians hate Israel, and for that matter, they hate the United States. Now, what I find very intriguing is that just recently Russia made an oil agreement between her and Saudi Arabia. And oil is going to play a vital role in the tribulation. If you look at a map, you will notice to the far north of Israel is Russia, and to the south of Israel is Saudi Arabia. Why is that important? Well, Daniel predicts that during the tribulation, those two powers, Russia and Saudi Arabia, will come into the land of Israel. Russia sits to the far north, Saudi Arabia sits to the south, and in the middle between those two powers is Israel. And the fact that these two powers right now are working out a deal pertaining to oil would signal to us there are relationships being forged that indicate we're near the rapture of the church. The eighth prophetic cloud is there will be a promotion of a one-world communistic government. The Bible clearly predicts as we near the end, there's going to be a move toward a one-world government. We are heading toward a one-world government, and that's what the scriptures teach both in Daniel and Revelation. Years ago, if you were a communist or socialist, living in the United States, you could get locked up in jail. Now, there are people in Congress and the Senate who promote communism. They want a government that controls everything about everyone, including your very life. There are some who want world health. They want world banking. They want world currency. They want a world government. Would you have ever believed that you would live to see a time when a governor in a state who supports the killing of babies would tell you what you can and cannot go into a store and buy? Would you have ever believed that you could live to see a time when a political leader in the state of Michigan would tell you you can't go to your own home? I've been in ministry for over 40 years. I've been told I can't go visit people in a nursing home or hospital. In fact, I got in an argument about that this week with someone. I said, look, I can wash my hands and I can put on a mask and gloves just like you do, so why can't I? The reason? The government says I can't do it. That's what communists do. And you can easily see it wouldn't be much of a stretch to think we could be heading toward that. Now, Daniel predicts a political beast is going to surface who's going to take over the whole world. And John, in the book of Revelation, says this Antichrist will have dominant power. In fact, here's what he says. This one will have power over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. So as we near the time of this happening, we may expect to see more and more of a formation of a one-world government that begins to take the rights away from the people. And one of the dramatic things that's happening right before our very eyes is that the government is beginning to move in ways that do seem to be taking away the rights of the people. This world is heading to a one-world government, and that says to us in the church, we're near the rapture. There's a ninth prophetic cloud that you must see that will exist in the tribulation, and that is there will be a major focus on China. During the tribulation, it is predicted that the Antichrist will be troubled by news coming from the east. Daniel talks about that in Daniel chapter 11. John predicts in Revelation chapter 9 that there will be a 200 million man army capable of destroying one-third of the world's population that will come from the east. If you look to the east of those areas, there sits China, who will play a key role in the tribulation. China has become one of the most important powers of the world. She has grown economically, militarily, and she has grown technologically. In fact, right now she is front and center of the world news, and not in a positive way, but she is a dominant force. And I don't believe Ladies and gentlemen, it is any coincidence that right now China is carrying out nuclear tests. She's not viewed favorably right now because of the coronavirus epidemic. And eventually, at some point, China is going to put that military together and start moving against the West. And the formation of it is going on right now before your very eyes, which says to us, we must be getting pretty near the rapture of the church. The 10th prophetic cloud is there will be a rise in the Babylonian harlot religion of Islam. There are four chapters in the Bible specifically aimed at God telling us what he's going to do to that Babylonian harlot, which includes her false religious system, which is Islam. Islam is the fastest growing religion of the world. It's a bizarre religion. It's a hateful religion formed by a corrupt liar, killer, child rapist who makes up a wild fairy tale story and people follow him. It's a religion that God says, I'm going to wipe off the face of the earth. So when you see an escalation of this religion taking place and it's beginning to flourish, you can say with certainty, we must be nearing the rapture because God says that's what's going to happen. There's an 11th prophetic cloud, and that is there will be an increase in homosexuality that existed like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 17. Jesus said, just before I come back, things are going to be like they were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the sin that caused God to destroy those cities was homosexuality, which is an abomination to God. And Jesus said, just before I return, things are going to be like they were then. We are there, ladies and gentlemen. This sin doesn't even shock people anymore. We have male with male and female with female, and males who want to be females and females who want to be males. And as a society, what we're seeing here is this progression has not been in godliness. We've been spiraling down into a cesspool of godlessness. And Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be just before I return, which would tell us we must be near the rapture. The 12th prophetic cloud is there will be an increase in occult demonic activity like there was in the days of Noah. Jesus said, just before I return, not only will things be like they were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, but things also will be like they were in the days of Noah. There was so much demonic and satanic activity back in the days of Noah, described in Genesis chapter 6, that we read, the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. And Jesus said, just before I return, it'll be just like that. Now, ever since 2019, there's been a tremendous rise in astrology and psychic and occult activity. It is said that in the United States, the fastest growing religion is Wicca, which is a form of pagan witchcraft. There is what has been called a new occult spirituality that's surging. When Brett Kavanaugh was nominated for the Supreme Court, a coven of Brooklyn witches, and they were proud about this, they tried to put a hex on it and stop it, which of course it didn't work. But all of this occult activity that's going on today says we're nearing the rapture. There's a 13th prophetic cloud that you don't hear much about, and that is there will be an increase in world activity with the Egyptians. Daniel speaks to this in Daniel chapter 11. So does Isaiah in Isaiah 19. Both Daniel and Isaiah predict that Egypt is going to play a key role in the tribulation. And for the most part, lately, Egypt doesn't appear to be too much in the news. But there were two things that happened this week that are interesting. Egypt received 4 tons of medical supplies from China, which cements her relationship with China. And Egypt is to receive more than 186 million euros from the European Bank, which cements a relationship with the European Union. Well, during the tribulation, the Egyptians are going to play a key role in actually moving against the Antichrist, and they are going to move chronologically in close proximity to movement that's taking place out of China. It would appear that the formation of a relationship with China is setting the stage for that very event, which would say to us, we're nearing the rapture. There's a 14th prophetic cloud that's forming, and that is there will be a tension that will increase within nations that will move many nations towards civil war. One of the early things of the tribulation that is predicted is that there will be an outbreak of civil war among nations, civil war within nations. And right now, clouds are forming in various parts of the world that could easily escalate into a civil war. There are clouds forming in Venezuela. There are clouds forming in China. And there are clouds forming in the United States. It is predicted that shortly after the rapture of the church, there's going to be an outbreak of civil war. You can read that in Revelation 6 and verse 4. And there is an unrest that you can see and that you can sense among the people that live in the States today. One reporter observed this week that the top four selling items in the United States right now are toilet paper, water, canned goods, and guns. I was just recently speaking with a person who sells guns. He told me guns have skyrocketed in sales to an all-new time historical record. One reporter who conducted interviews said the reason why so many people are buying guns is because they sense there is an apocalypse coming. And I'm quoting him, there's an apocalypse coming. One writer said people are preparing for battle. He said people are buying guns because they fear they're going to need them to protect themselves and their families. One of the first things that's going to happen after the rapture of the church will be civil war. So if we're looking at a world and there seems to be this sense that there's some apocalyptic event about to happen, and it would clearly say we must be nearing the rapture of the church. The 15th prophetic cloud is there will be an increase of cosmological disasters. According to Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 8, there are going to be all kinds of cosmological disasters that will occur in various places of the world. There will be earthquakes and famines, and there will be tornadoes and hurricanes and all kinds of things. And God is going to send those things, destructive storms. In fact, it'll be so ferocious in the tribulation that people will try to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. Take a look around at what is happening. One week ago, an earthquake hit Salt Lake City. Last week, it hit Idaho. Then it hit tornadoes in the south. Now, I don't pretend to know all the mind of God on how he sends storms to certain areas and does destructive things. I don't have a clue as to what God's doing there. I do know this. He controls those storms, and all of that says to us we're near the rapture. The 16th prophetic cloud is there will be an increase of pandemic sicknesses. During the tribulation, God will destroy many people with pandemic sicknesses and pestilences. And what cannot be denied right now, because we're living it, is there is a worldwide pandemic sickness, the likes of which we've never seen. In the tribulation, if you do the math, just based on Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, and chapter 9, verse 15, one out of two people will die in the world. Now, the present world population is about 8 billion people, which means during the tribulation, about 4 billion people will die. And pandemic sickness will be one of the ways people are going to die. This is just a small glimpse we're getting here. Because as of this recording, there are about 145,000 people who've died in the world. God does say, I'm going to use that as a means of destroying people in the tribulation. So if we are seeing the clouds forming for that now, we must be near the rapture. A 17th prophetic cloud is there will be an increase of predator animal attacks. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, in the tribulation, God says, I'm going to use predator animals to attack and kill people. So we can expect to see, as we're nearing the rapture of the church before the tribulation, there are going to be predator animals who are going to lose their sense of fear of humans. Just recently, we've seen pictures of mountain lions walking right down city streets. The people are isolated, and predator animals are actually coming into the cities. For example, in Chile, predator lions are prowling the streets in the capital of Santiago. In the streets of some Mexican cities, there are jaguar lions moving through the cities. In San Francisco, there are coyotes that are stalking in the streets. And the same thing is happening in London, Japan, Wales, and Thailand. Well, you have to say, what's going on here? These predator animals don't normally go into human areas. They normally stay clear of them. Why are they being drawn to infiltrate human areas? Because God says in the early part of the tribulation, I'm going to actually use these wild beasts as a form of judgment. I'm going to kill people. And here's what he says, by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, all of these facts that we've just gone through would indicate prophetic clouds are forming for the tribulation. And I have just observed what's in the scriptures here. Whether or not you believe it, that's your business. But I have told you what is accurately in the scriptures here. And all of these facts show things are forming, things are taking shape for what God is going to do in the tribulation, which means we must be nearing the rapture. Now, the rapture of the family of God is a blessed hope. And the last thing Jesus said to the churches in Revelation 22 is, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Yes, I'm coming quickly. And in that last chapter of the book of Revelation, John said, when Jesus Christ returns, one who's filthy will still be filthy. One who's righteous will still practice righteousness. So it is important that believers in Jesus Christ be practicing biblical righteousness when Christ returns. Now, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior, do it now. Invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you from your sins. And I promise you this from those of us who've experienced this. The words of Jesus are true. If you believe in him, it's a key to not having a troubled heart in troubling times. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then now's the time to get very serious about understanding and applying the Word of God, because there are sign-forming clouds that do indicate we are very near the rapture of the church. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the inspired scriptures. We know that these prophecies we've looked at today are true because whenever we're able to track prophecies through history that you made in the Bible that have already come to pass, they turned out to be literally and accurately true. So we know these are. And we would suspect, Lord, by what we're looking at in this world, that we're very near the moment when Christ is going to catch us up in the sky. I pray as we wait for that blessed moment, and that is our blessed hope, that we will be faithful people of God, we'll be stable people, will be focused on a serious-minded approach to understanding the Scriptures. For anything that you've done through this, we want to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.